Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ dhammaṃ saṅghaṃ namassāmi. This is the first talk of the 2006 Range Retreat. It's come at the very beginning of the retreat, and many of the monks will still be settling in to the new routine. But as you settle into the new routine of more solitude, less talking, please don't blow it in the first few days. Very often there's inspiration at the very beginning, where we really want to try and develop the Eightfold Path. And sometimes that inspiration can be thrown away too easily. So be mindful, keep on going. It's well worthwhile following the path which was first taught by the Buddha. Otherwise, there's hardly any point to your life. For those of you who think that there can be any happiness in this world, we just chanted the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, where the Buddha made it very clear about the Four Noble Truths, that life, the five khandhas, is inherently suffering. And understanding that much should give you the incentive to make use of this golden opportunity. For those of you who are fortunate enough to sit by me, upatakmi, at lunchtime or at Nolamara throughout the year, you can notice how much pain and suffering there is in this world. And that many of your fantasies and dreams, if they were really lived out, it's not like you expect, it's always much worse. That sometimes that life becomes hopeless. Just every week we chant for people who are having cancers, who are dying, got these diseases, those diseases. These are real people. People in pain and suffering, people who basically wonder why they have to bear so much pain. Many of you in this monastery at this time are very young monks, and there's something which the Buddha called the conceits, one of which is the conceit of youth, another is the conceit of health. What that means is that it's a delusion that we're healthy, we're young, and this inherent idea that this is going to last forever. That now that you've got your youth, you've got your health, you think you can waste time. If only you realize just how short a time it is when you have that energy, when you have that health, and how soon the sickness and the old age is coming, then you wouldn't waste time. So the Buddha said we should meditate as if our turban was on fire. In other words, that we should not waste time. We have the opportunity now. And with that inspiration, we should get into the meditation as soon as we possibly can. To anchor the mind on this breath. And to make sure that, see how many breaths you can watch every day. And so if you can do that, give yourself a little goal, just to center the mind, to focus it. The longer one can hold on to the breath, the more likely it is that the mind will settle down into stillness. For those of you who have been very busy or very distracted doing many things, it will be a struggle at first. It will be a struggle because you're going against the what the mind has been doing for the past few months. Remember, this is just a conditioning process. And the more you turn the mind in one direction, eventually it does submit. It has to, because it's just conditioning, brainwashing if you like. So just don't give in so easily. Just keep on focusing on the breath, focusing on the breath, focusing on the breath. Because that's the core meditation which we teach here. And so when you make that the focus, make that the goal, to be able to watch the breath clearly in your meditation, then all the other supports have their proper meaning. everything fits together into a very coherent and well understood path. The present moment, the silence, that's to help you watch the breath. The solitude is to give you less disturbances so you can watch the breath. Being able to take the food back to your hut means you can just watch the breath more without having to worry about looking at all these people coming and talking. Having coffee and tea back in your hut again gives you less disturbance of walking all the way from your hut to the kitchen and walking back again to get a cup of tea or whatever. It's all there for you. So it's all there for you so that you can follow this breath. Every moment, sometimes you read in the old manuals of meditation that to see if you can watch every breath throughout the whole day. So you can go to sleep at night and you know that last breath before you actually doze off. And the very when you wake up, you can watch that first breath as you wake up. Now sometimes that seems to be just impossible, as if it's some psychic power. But it's not. If you can really practice this meditation, it becomes just like it says. In the time of the Buddha, monks were no different than you are today. For those of you who think that the monks were somehow superior, you only have to look at the stories of the group of 6 monks or the group of 17 monks or Udayin or Upananda to see that those monks were scallywag monks in those days. They had the same defilements as monks have these days. So it's not the case that you haven't got what it takes. What one needs is the inspiration, the opportunity, and a little bit of effort to put into that meditation, especially at the beginning. And throughout the year I've talked a lot about effort and how to put it in. And sometimes to say, just leave it alone, let go, don't do too much. But I think that the best time for doing nothing is in the later stages of the meditation. When you have the breath in mind, then you can let it go. And it's the same in the beginning of the meditation retreat. This is the time for putting forth some effort. Later on, you can just loosen off and you can let go much more. But when you start on a journey, it takes a while to accelerate up to the right pace. And then you can start cruising. So this particular time, like a rocket taking off, burns all its fuel in the first few minutes to get its momentum, which carries it through its whole journey into outer space and out of samsara. But now is the time for putting forth a little bit of effort, but not too much, not too little. Just like the simile of the lute and sona, just to keep it just the right tension so you feel at ease when a nice sound comes out, so that you can actually watch this breath. Because what happens is the more you start focusing on the breath, the more time you spend on the breath, the more hours you spend on this breath, it means that the less opportunity is it for the mind to wander off into fantasies, into dreams, into doing other things. And it's a natural result of spending a lot of time on the breath. Because you're simplifying, you're going inwards, the mindfulness starts to increase, the energy comes up, the breath starts to look more beautiful, and you start to enjoy peacefulness. And once you start to enjoy the peace of the mind and the focus of the mind, just keeping a little simple thing in your attention for long periods of the time, all the other core water and vinaya rules, they're just so easy to keep. They become a natural action of body and speech. People who are peaceful and still have subdued so many defilements that you don't need to even think what the core what is, what the vinaya is. You keep it naturally, spontaneously, automatically. Because you're subduing the defilements, you're restraining them. To restrain something, like the Buddha said, is like taking an elephant out of the jungle, a wild elephant. It takes a while to subdue their wanton forest ways. And sometimes it takes a while to subdue your wanton, indulgent ways. But after a while, as long as you persist with the training, it happens. And it's great when you've actually let go of something. You've trained yourself. You just feel so much happiness and so much energy. I know that there is no self in there, and sometimes that when you talk about congratulating yourself, you can be in danger of enhancing the idea of a self, the perception of a me and a mine. But nevertheless, until such time one is a stream winner, and especially an arahat, you'll always have this idea of you. And so you might as well make best use of it and just praise yourself. If you start to get somewhere in your meditation, you start to feel good about yourself, you start to feel some reward for what you're doing. And that does encourage you to go deeper into the path. So by putting forth a little bit of effort, you just simply feel much better about yourself. And you find that the meditation starts to get somewhere. And your monks, or your novices, those anagarikas, maybe want to aspire to become monks, even the lay people who are coming here for the 3 months, really you're no different than myself. You know, you may have a different gender, different robes, have a bit of hair instead of no hair. It doesn't really matter. You're still walking exactly the same path as everybody else. And so if you start to put a little bit of effort into watching that breath, you'll find too that after a few days even, the mind settles down and you're off. And once it settles down, you can pursue that meditation even deeper and have some really wonderful, beautiful, blissful, deep, insightful experiences, which is, you know, what I wish for each one of you. But you have to do that work in the beginning just to get it going. I remember my old father used to have one of these old Ford cars, and he used to put a crank in the engine and turn it round and round and round and round to get the engine going in the days before electric ignition. And I still can recall my father just working so hard to get the car started. But once it was going, they were off. And sometimes it's like you. Sometimes you want to put a little crank, this little zigzag piece of metal in your brain or your mind somewhere and keep winding it around to get you going. But once you're going, then you're off and you have a wonderful time. So you have to find some strategies to be able to watch the breath and to allow the mind to use that as its foundation, as its resort. You have a hut to stay in for your physical body, but you need something for your mind to grab onto, and the breath is the best thing. And of course, to be able to watch the breath, that's why we have things like present moment awareness and silence. Develop that. Especially the beautiful present moment. It's so powerful. All you need to do is watch the breath in the moment, just now. And it's great when you don't have any worries about time. For most of you, that you can actually put aside your clocks. The only time you really need to come up is for the meal. The rest of the time, you don't even need to look at your clock. You can sometimes just put an alarm for about 10:15 or something and just hide the clock so you don't even look at it. And so you just meditate in the evening. Don't worry about what time it is when you go to bed or what time you get up in the morning. So don't be a prisoner of such time and get into all these habits. I have to go to bed at this time, I have to get up at that time. The beauty of a monastery such as this is you can throw away the clocks. The only thing is a 10:15 meal, and if you miss that, that's no big deal. So to be able to let go of the perception of time will help you just be in the present moment. You just now. It's the only time you ever had. It's always been now. And there always will be now. Always has been now. There's only now time. And it's a great when you develop that perception, because it just cuts away just so much fantasy, dreams, thoughts, business, stuff, which just clogs up the mind and stops it from focusing on the breath. I know in the early years I was naturally good at watching the breath, but I remember once when Ajahn Jagwan said, "Yeah, it's very easy for you to talk, Ajahn Brahm, but how did you get to the breath in the first place?" It was because of a comment like that, and I started focusing on teaching present moment awareness. Because I was looking at my own breath meditation, when I was watching the breath go in and go out, sometimes you couldn't find it, or you wandered off. Why? Where did I wander to? So you used your insight, you investigated, and saw so much of the time you are just wandering off into something which happened a few moments ago. It's actually usually not too long ago, but just something which happened a few moments ago. You didn't meditate correctly, or this happened, or that happened. And often you just focus on the future, just run off about what you're going to do next, or the plans for the monastery, or your plans for what you're going to do, or where you're going to go, or what you're going to what's going to happen to you. Once I saw just the places where the mind ran to instead of the breath, then it became quite clear why developing a bit of present moment awareness was so helpful. It helped you be on the breath. So as I said to someone today, you can surround your breaths with a cocoon of present moment awareness. And you can even visualize it. There's the breath. And you've got this beautiful soft cotton wool bubble called present moment. And you just allow your breath and your mind to stay in there. So you don't need to go off into the future or the past. You can be responsibly irresponsible. You don't have to do anything. It's all been simplified for you completely. Some of you have a couple of duties, but it's not much. You can push it all aside. As for me, when I meditate, I'm not an abbot, haven't got the 32 years now, or 10 years, or whatever, how many years you've been meditating, push all that aside. The only thing which you have is just this breath happening now. And it simplifies life so much. For those of you who like complexity, this is not for you. In fact, this monastery is not for you, it's just too simple. So train yourself on the simplicity of just one breath at a time, in the moment. And sometimes that bit about silence, and you don't really need to develop silence because it comes automatically when you're really in this moment. Just focusing beautifully in this moment called now. If you train yourself that way, after a while, you'll see the point. You'll see the value in present moment awareness with the breath. And you've got to keep on doing it as many times as you possibly can. Again and again and again, as much in the day as you can. The more you do that, the more you put that effort into being in the moment with the breath, the more you'll be developing peace, happiness, insight, and feeling great about yourself as a monk, and the more you'll really be able to help other people, because you'll be a meditation master. And of course, you know, you are a monk, you're going to stay as a monk a long time, and even now that some of your friends and relations ask you questions about Buddhism, about meditation, don't be humiliated by them because you can't really answer their questions properly because you haven't really experienced deep states, and the reason you haven't experienced deep states, you never really put the time and effort into meditating. So you have that opportunity now, so really go for it and just make the goal, just as many times, how much in this first week or two could I just watch this breath, keep it in mind as much as possible, and cocoon it in the present moment. It makes it easier. But also, in that cocoon of the present moment, put some kindness in there. So you like valuing, loving this breath. It doesn't take hard to add kindness onto things, because sometimes the human beings, especially in our Western culture, we can anthropomorphize. The people have their car, they call it names, they have their little house and they get very fond of it. They have all sorts of, you know, even instruments which they like, you know, like their favorite chainsaw or whatever. I remember the whole cement mixer, which is now busted. It would never bust if I kept on working, because I was always very kind to that cement mixer. I was almost like looked upon it as like a person, anthropomorphized, which means you put a personality onto it. And sometimes you'd talk to it or stroke it or chant with it, and it would always work when I chanted. It was amazing sometimes. Now, I don't know why that was, but if you can do that with a cement mixer, you can certainly do that with your breath. In other words, you look upon it as a being and give it kindness. This little breath which has served you ever since you were born. It's brought oxygen into your body and taken out all the waste products. know, of your your system. And it's done that for such a long time. You care for this breath. You're kind to it. And I've always noticed whatever you're kind towards, whatever you have loving kindness for, number one, you don't tend to lose it, and number two, it's fun to be with. You can see that sometimes the visitors who come to our monastery, being the little babies, and they always pass their babies around, and people love little babies. They're caring for them. And I've always noticed that if a mother takes her baby to the shopping mall, they never drop it on the ground. They never leave it at a shop somewhere and go home forgetting that they left a baby there. And the reason is because they care about that. But I've noticed that very often it's very easy to lose your breath, to drop it somewhere and not realize where you've left it. That's obviously because you don't care for it. So in order to manage to keep with the breath as long as possible, we've got to psych ourselves up to really caring for it, for valuing it, to make importance about it. And it's up to you to do that. I can't convince you. You may argue in your mind, say it's a stupid thing to do, I don't want to do that, I'm not going to be told. But it doesn't matter about that. It's well worthwhile doing. If you really want to develop the meditations, this is how to do it. So give it a try. Not just you're watching the breath, care for it, focus on it. Surround it in the present moment. And just keep on with it. Or just in the moment, moment after moment after moment after moment. And you find just that little process will be training the mind out of its wanton thinking ways. It will start to settle down. When it starts to settle down, because you've done many, 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 many moments of breath meditation, you find that the mind will just latch onto the breath automatically. Sometimes all it needs to do is just to sit down and the breath just comes. Because I've been training my mind that way for so many years, it's so easy for me just to sit down and just the breath is there because that's just what the mind expects to watch. It's done that for years. It's a wonderful training. And I can reap the benefits of such a training now. So focus on the breath as much as you possibly can. You know, even times if you're on the toilet, just even watch the breath if you possibly can. You know, and when you're waiting for the meal. I don't encourage breath meditation when you're walking. When you're walking, focus on the feelings in the feet. So you're always focusing on something, which means that the mind doesn't have a chance really to start thinking about so many different things. You're settling the mind down, you're training it. And that is like a discipline. I know that people in the outside world think that monks should be very disciplined. And sometimes that we think that's just about the external discipline of going around looking like people's ideals of a monk, always restrained, hardly ever talking or whatever, not laughing, whatever. But the external restraint is not as important as the internal restraint. Because I've seen this in my life as a monk, see people on the outside, they're absolutely perfect. You look at them and sometimes you think they're an arahat. And when you know what's happening on the inside of them, they're just in turmoil, it's just all control. So it's much better if the restraint comes from the inside out rather than the outside in. So start restraining the mind and then the body will be restrained. When the mind is at peace with the breath and getting into deep meditation, just its nature, the speech will be very soft and there won't be much of it. And just the defilements just disappear. All that craving and the wanting and the sexual fantasies or the wanting to go here or the wanting to sort of have a chat with somebody or read a newspaper or listen to something on whatever, all of that tends to disappear. You're settling the mind down, you're subduing the craving. I know that sometimes that people think, well, that's just being disciplined and I don't want to do that, I want my freedom. But it's good to realize that what one takes to be freedom and what is true freedom is sometimes directly opposite. Many people take freedom to be the ability to do what they want when they want it. It would be great if that really was you who was doing the wanting in the first place. But when you develop some insight, you find that this will, this doer, this thing which you think is you, is just causes and effects. If anything, it's just Mara telling you to do this and to do that. The control freak in chief in the Nimana Paranimitta Vasavati realm, the realm of those who control other people's creations. So they're controlling you. And you take that to be you, delighting in it. Sometimes I've described the human experience of being like in a prison with five walls and having this terrible guard which is always telling you what to do and ordering you and forcing you and never giving you a moment's rest. And in that simile of being in a prison with five walls and a guard, a torturer, always telling you what to do, never allowing you to rest. That simile, the five walls, is obviously the five senses. And the guard, the torturer, is this Chaitanya, this will. And it's really strange that many people celebrate the Chaitanya, the will, and they guard it as their most prized possession. They won't let anybody sort of take it away. And the last thing we want to do is to give up our choice, to give up our will, to give up our freedom to do what we want. But you're not doing what you want. That's just a delusion. You're just conditioned to want those things, and it's just doing which creates more suffering in the world. You're just craving. Strange, if you really could see what was going on, it's just like the person who is blind, who keeps burning themselves, or keeps buying this old cloth, which is just an old rag, but you know, you think it's just really beautiful and wonderful. It's stupid what human beings do. If you can only see what's really there, you see that this doer, this will, this thing which is you call choice, that's your torturer. It creates so much problems. That's why the Buddha called it like the house builder. The house builder, you've been seen. Everything has been destroyed now. You won't build any more houses for me. This Chaitanya, this will, Chanda, craving, whatever you want to call it. And so that don't think that, oh, I don't want to watch the breath. I want to do what I want to do. Discipline that torturer. It's possible to actually to overcome that torturer, that guard which is always forcing you to do this and to do that, which never gives you any peace, never gives you any stillness. Because the times when you have been peaceful and still, and you've just been watching the breath and that's all that's there, where you got even deeper into deeper stages of calm, it's just so lovely. The best thing which you ever have is content just to be still. And for those of you who have experienced that many, many times, you know what I'm talking about, that this is happiness, this is what tastes good. I know just recently somebody asked me if I remembered when I first meditated. And I replied to them without any hesitation, yeah, I remember it. I remember the time. It would have been in 1969. Probably around about November, and it was in the Wordsworth room of King's College in Cambridge University. 5-minute meditation was all I did. But to this day I'll always remember just it felt so peaceful. And it was the peace, it wasn't jhana or even close to jhana, just watching the breath for 5 minutes. Just felt so good. One of the best experiences, and of course you took that much deeper in your later years. But to know what's at stake, and to recognize where real happiness, fulfillment, freedom, peace, love, whatever else you really want in this world, that's where it lies, in the stillness of the mind. So once you can get a bit of peace in the meditation, that's all you need. You get hooked. the mind will recognize that this is its real home. This is its abiding in the cave of the heart. This beautiful place where you can hang out and have all the fun, the peace, the freedom, the insight you can possibly ever want. So once you get to that stage, as I keep calling it, the pivot point of meditation, when the breath is peaceful enough, it feels good. You get the sense of happiness, delight in meditation. Then you are off. You're away. You're on the path. You're going to get there. You can't stop yourself. You just want to meditate more and more and more. So delight in this meditation. You know that in those retreats I teach lay people, always somebody misses their lunch. It's great when that happens. I expect some of you to miss your lunch during this retreat period. Having such a beautiful meditation, you just don't come out. You'd rather just carry on enjoying the peace. And not doing that to show off, but just because you can't help yourself. This automatic process of delighting in the joy of the mind. Because the more you delight in the joy of the mind, the easier it is to watch the breath. The mind just inclines there. You have to force it at the beginning of this retreat. You force it just basically telling your mind, come on mind, can't you see? This is beautiful, this is enjoyable. Sometimes the mind is stubborn, so you just have to take it. And just show it, see? Soon enough the mind will recognize that. As once the mind recognizes the beauty of peace, that this is where what it always wanted, and this peace, this stillness, is to find right within this very moment, in the center of time called now, in the center of now called silence, in the breath, in the middle of this breath, right now, nowhere else, you don't need to go anywhere, get anything, change anything, it's right in the center of what you have in this moment. Just have to go inwards instead of these asavas, these outflowings which always take you out. Stay at home, stay in the moment, and then you have all this peace and beauty. Once you see that, then you understand what the path is. Once you see it and understand what the path is, just the mind inclines. You don't have to force yourself anymore. The effort has done its job. Before I've told you that the effort should be get to the meditation cushion and then just let go. I think that's okay for outside of the reins. Now I'm saying the effort should be to get to the beautiful breath. Once you've got to that stage, then you can let go. Because once you get to the stage of the beautiful breath will hold your mind. The beautiful breath will satisfy you. A beautiful breath will mean you don't need to read those books or to have those conversations or to get bored and just do this and do that. You get some fulfillment. The beauty of a beautiful breath just there for you, having a great time meditating. You just can't find enough hours in the day to meditate. Instead of at the beginning of a retreat, the hours just they stretch so long, when am I going to go to bed, and trying to sleep a bit longer so you don't have to sleep, so you don't have to meditate, sort of sleepy in the morning, with all the sloth and torpor, and getting bored, and getting nowhere, and getting frustrated, and all that sort of stuff. Put the effort to sort of get into the beautiful breath, because once you're there, then you're sweet. Energy comes up, you just want to meditate, you don't get bored, you don't get restless, you're having a great time, and from that point on you can really develop this meditation. You just really get deep. From that point it's quite easy. Up to the beautiful breath, maybe that's a bit difficult because you're going against a lot of defilements. You're going against a lot of old habits. You're having to sometimes fight your way there. Once you get to that place, you know, you're on the train, you just can really enjoy from there on in. So put forth a little bit of effort. Put the time in. But sometimes that's all it takes, just putting the hour after hour after hour. Keep on just forcing yourself forward, forging forward. Just go and sit and watch the breath. You've got nothing better other to do. Hour after hour after hour. When you get your legs get tired, just get up and walk meditation. And then go back and watch the breath some more. And you get really fed up, who cares? I'm just going to watch the breath. I'm going to really make something out of my monastic life. You know, who am I? I'm not some foolish failure. I've got all the parameters. I've made it this far. Let's go all the rest of the way. Let's get into jhanas, this retreat. Let's get some deep insight. Let's become a stream winner. Who knows? Get some psychic powers going. They exist. Why not do it? So a little bit of aspiration, a little bit of effort, but the effort now is just to keep watching the breath as much as you possibly can. And if you can start to do that, you'll find the results will come. And remember, all frustration is just maybe a lack of patience. You think, oh, it's not working. And my answer would always be, it's not working yet. Just carry on. Oh, I've been doing this for such a long time. Stop thinking about time. Present moment awareness. Just do it now. That's all you need to do. Just keep on doing it now. And after a while, you'll just bust through this frustration and negativity barrier. You make that barrier. You make the negativity. There's nothing wrong with you. You can do all these things. It's just the way you look at life, the way you look at yourself. Anything can be done in this moment. You're right here. Just be here. Don't worry about whether you can do it in the future or you've done it in the past. That's all just fantasy, dreamland. It's not real. What are you doing now? Every time you think, I can't do this, you're not watching this moment. You're just judging it. Judging it from the past. You're carrying the past in the moment. Or you're just dragging the future, which doesn't belong to you, into this moment, and messing up. I have nothing to do with the past, nothing to do with the future, and everything to do with the breath. Watching the breath, which is happening now, it's always there for you, hour after hour, as much as you possibly can. Sure, it's difficult at first, but persist. And be someone who is not going to give up easily. Someone who's going to really make something of this retreat. Now you've got the opportunity. The huts are there, very little work to be done. You've got great fellows in the monastic life. And it's strange thing that in all the years we've been here, usually when someone gets a deep meditation, other people get deep meditation that night. If your meditation goes well, you're actually helping other people get into deep meditation. There is a link there. I'm not quite sure how it works, whether there's some sort of resonance effect. It's the same if some person's having a difficult time. Even that rubs off on other monks. So if you can really get into some deep meditation, then the monks in the huts around you will feel it. And sometimes they just fall into deep meditation too. Or at least the deeper meditation they had before. Just like the energy just spreads around the monastery. So it's a great thing you can do for others. But you know, if you're a slack, you're just lazing around, then actually you're holding other people back. So the energies of negativity or laziness tend to spread around. So it's not that hard to do. Don't ever think, yeah, I've heard this before, I've tried it before, it doesn't work. That's just focusing on the past. Those of you who know just how the psychology of the mind works, if ever you think, I can't do this, then you won't be able to do this. You make your limitations. Any psychologist knows that. This is not just New Age stuff. This is just the truth of things. And I've been messing around with disproving that for years. thinking, I can't do this, I'm too tired, I'm too sick, you know, it's too hot, it's too cold, it's too late. You know, I'm rebellious, and sometimes I sit when I shouldn't be sitting. I just meditate and do things which are really weird and amazing, just sometimes what my mind can do. It's proved to me that there's no limitations there. So all you need to do is just, in this moment, just watch this breath. You all know you don't have to watch at the tip of the nose, it's the feeling of the breath. Get used to your meditation object, know it really well, become an expert. You know, some people are experts, what is it, a mechanic, some are experts in account, some people are doctors, surgeons. Your profession is breath. You know, you're people who should be meditators, who know the breath so well, and can focus on it whenever they need to, and to develop the beautiful, peaceful states of mind. Whenever you need to. That's the skill which we're supposed to be training here. It's alright to know Pali, that's nice. It's great to know suttas and be able to quote what the Buddha said in this sutta or that sutta. But many lay people can do that. The best thing you can do is to learn about your breath and be an expert on the breath. You know how to just focus on it in this moment. Whenever you want, know the tricks of meditation. Be able to learn how to calm that breath down and take it to the beautiful breath where lots of piti sukha start coming up. Where you're happy in simplicity. Not a happiness which depends upon having other things around you like books or radios or people or jokes or coffee clubs or whatever. That sort of happiness is one thing. It's a dependent happiness. It's if you can have a happiness which doesn't depend on other people, which doesn't depend on other people's conversation, which doesn't depend even on your health or your comfort physically, which is completely independent of all these supports. You just go in the realm of the mind. So the independent happiness, born of letting go, born of renunciation, born of freedom, born of subduing the will, the born of choicelessness. All those beautiful words which show you that this is part of the path of liberation. By developing that awareness of the breath. Don't worry about how many breaths, just the breath happening now. And after a while you just settle down in there. And hours pass by. You're sitting there and you can't believe just how long you meditate for. I've seen this with some people. They come up in the interviews, they've only meditated for half an hour before and they do 2 hours or 3 hours. How do they do that? Just having such a wonderful time. They never wanted to come out of meditation. They're not in jhanas yet, just sometimes in the state of the beautiful breath. Just so lovely to be there. Just watching this breath go in and breath go out easily. So make that your sort of little goal. And to be able to attain that, you have to put the time in. You have to start focusing on the breath and making breath the most important thing in your day. It's very difficult to do that for too long, but for the first week in the meditation retreat, it's a great thing to focus on. You know, you have been working hard. You have been exercising your will. So, instead of just allowing the will just to disappear, use the will which you've excited over the last 9 months. Focus it on the breath. The same way you've been working hard building the kutis, or cleaning up the workshop, or cleaning the toilets, arranging this, fixing that. Now take the meditation on the breath as your goal. That's what I'm going to do. And if you've got a bad back or sore legs, don't worry about that. Just lay on your right side in the lying posture and get into breath meditation that way. Get that comfortable position and just watch the breath hour after hour after hour. It's not that hard once you get into it. Focus on it, get into it. It's worthwhile doing. Once that effort gets its result, you can see the breath, then you feel so much better about yourself. you'll be able to start the meditation retreat in a great way, and you're liable to get immense results in the remainder of the weeks of this meditation retreat. So focus on the breath as much as you possibly can. It's the first talk of this meditation retreat.
Sadhu, 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 Anumodayam.
Aham, Sadhu, Sadhu.